health systems are currently on hold as we attempt repairs
in order to bring you the best possible travel experience here at Subver City Transmit. Please direct any questions to the Information Center, and please do keep off the tracks. We wouldn't want any accidents to occur.
The wormhole below Platform 5 is
barely visible, and we'd rather not lose any travelers or personal articles to the far quadrant of the galaxy.
While repairs continue, feel free to browse our Matter Fluid gift shop and stop by the wine bar
to sample our newly vinted
Desert Harvest dessert wines and cloud-grown artisan cheeses. Stay tuned for updates and travel armed and safely.
God damn. See, he's a regular hermaphroditus, am I right? Signori,
how can I help you?
Can you schedule me a wine and cheese meetup with that one? I want to discuss who he's wearing.
Yes. Snack time.
I confess, I have a weakness for bespoke fashion, usually of the long and flowy variety. Can I just take a moment to discuss this particular beauty on the display before me, though? Z's top to bottom in ombre shades of rose petal ruby with glassy blue buttons on their double-breasted sleeveless vest. Their skirt looks to be formulated from a hybrid of silk and fiberglass. It's undulating with a breeze, but too perfectly to be organic. It's all a watercolor painting of twilight rain on a topside garden. Every one of the trans agents is encouraged to follow a theme of fluidity or movement in their attire. The only must-have is the station logo, somehow incorporated into the outfit. The agent who made our announcement today is wearing it on a single silver shoulder pauldron. I just love that touch. I wonder what other colors it comes in.
Apple, tangerine, banana, pear, blueberry, plum.
Oh, you've been doing your research too, I see. Thank you. Travelers and citizens, if you find yourself near the Subver City Harbor, you should keep an eye out for the statue of Jacques Jewell, our founder of the trans agency. You know what? I'm going to read a quick little bio here for the interested. Signori, can you pull that up? Great, thank you. All right. Jacques Jewell's story is a fantastic one that humbly begins during La Belle Epoque when Z began life as the son of a metro engineer and a can-can dancer. Growing up shuttling back and forth between the underground Art Nouveau stations and backstage at the cabaret led to an early interest in unique yet functional fashion. By the time World War I hit, the young Jules had already established a name for herself in cirque circles with her hand-sewn costumes, known for being flexible, alluring, and showy. With a new collection finished and danger on the rise, Jules escaped with his father, mother, 23 completed outfits, and a smattering of performers, dancers, and salon types into the metro tunnels where they found and followed a long-forgotten trackline into the Subver City. Today, that district where they emerged and set up residence is still known as the Quartier des Beaux Artistes. Side note, everyone, this is where you can find the best boutique shops and cafes. Jules and her father immediately found work in the station itself, where Jules would later establish the Department of Trans Agency, a sub-department that focuses on guest relations with friendliness, helpfulness, and information. Jules handpicked and trained their first gorgeous team of model residents, which is where Z met Ricard Jans, who was to later become their life mate. Today, the trans agency welcomes all gender-fluid, gender-mixed, agendered, transgendered, and neutral into their ranks, as long as they have a love and appreciation for androgynous fashion. So, you all, on that note, today's story, I've decided, is going to be about someone Jacques would have wanted to meet. So, without further ado...
Not for kids.
Berlin Ben's Big Night Out by Corin Rayburn. I conduct experiments on the fly. Nobody knows about them, and 75% are failures. When something does hit, though, oh boy, it's like all the United card-giving days at once. Like knowing you're smarter than everyone else in your class. It's like being plugged into an electronic socket designed specifically for satisfaction. Things start moving into place and you can't turn back. I was 12 when I had my first big success. Invented a love-o-meter that analyzed how truly in love a pair of individs were by means of chemical responses in the brain and so forth. I tested it on my mother and father. This was followed by crying, shouting, and a stubby lawyer with parts of his beard missing. My mother made me put the machine away, and from then on I had to invent in secret. I dropped out of school a year later. Was kicked out, really. The instructing official wrote, Benjamin does not follow instructions. He is highly creative and finishes projects ahead of time, but we would prefer that he just follow directions. There is no more our institutions can do for him. I moved out when I was 14, homeless for a month before I constructed a top-of-the-line greenhouse from discarded materials. It's amazing what people throw away. It wasn't long before I had higher-functioning electricity, heating, and a super-intelligence hookup that were faster, better, and cheaper than everyone else's on my level. Other citizens would hire me to wire up their houses and paid me cash. United's public sector would shut me down if they knew about it. Tonight I'm working on my pet project. It's a gender-disguised device, in layman's terms. A complex series of DNA simulation electronics which fools the body's chromosomes into reconfiguring themselves, temporarily. After an hour and a half, it wears off. I plan to market it to the public under a faux name. Berlin Ben, I'm thinking. German engineering is always so tidy, and branding is important. Currently, I use the gender swap device to sit in on women's recovery meetings. They cry while I hold them, and they remind me of my mother. The device is ready for another test after my latest tweaks. I adjust the settings to vary slightly from the presets, wearing a taupe-colored dress and espadrilles. I'm down in the basement, and there are wires strung up through the ceilings to the first floor. I'm using practically all the electrical outlets in the house. The wires lead in an intricate network to an orange-green gel pad in the shape of a large hand, metal discs on each of the finger pads and three on the palm. I position my hand in the center of the gel pad. Cold orange-green ooze envelops my fingers. It gets thicker until my hand is stuck. I raise it in the air and wave it around ominously, pretending I'm a comic book villain. The hardened gel begins to crack. I close my eyes at the sensation. It feels both wonderful and terrible, like sudden all-over-body acupuncture, a solid punch to the gut, and someone kissing your neck. It makes me feel really queasy, but it's all in the name of science. Days, weeks, or minutes later, I come around. The gel pad is sparking and sizzling, discarded on the floor next to me as it works to resume its shape. In a handheld mirror, I see that I'm pretty this time. Not supermodel pretty, but cute girl who works at the organic food store pretty at least. Long brown hair, pale blue eyes, short and thin with perky breasts. I spend just a moment admiring myself. Then I pop a couple of preloaded hypodermic needles into a suede handbag and head for the stairs. A girl should always have various medications on hand in case something goes wrong. I'm on my way to Tuesday night grief counseling at 8 p.m. when a strange urge strikes me. I don't feel like holding women as they weep tonight. In fact, women who cry just make other people uncomfortable. Women who laugh and dance are what I want to be around, what I want to be like. I'm going out dancing tonight. Most individs in my greenhouse complex go to one of either two places on a work night, the United Love Houses or the Night Chapels. The Love Houses contain appalling technology. You construct your mate for the evening from a kiosk, but there are less than a dozen levels of customizations. I don't know how people stay interested in a sex partner whose attributes are as two-dimensional as a vintage computer game. I could build a better one from scrap metal and 107 lines of code. The Night Chapels are mostly full of loathsome individuals, but they have great music. That thump-thump bass and the tinny voices creep their way into your veins and make the rest of the experience bearable. There's one in my sector called Hypocrite Wedding. I think it's kind of divey, but the old modified hip kids love it, and they're beautiful on the dance floor. I enter the club after an awkward flirt with the bouncer. He's not my type. Neither are most of these guys, I think. Still, I'm glad I shaved. Out on the dance floor, white lights pulsate on the offbeat to the thump, thump, thump. I'm dancing with two girls. One is a bottle blonde and the other is a Siamese twin. Her sister won't look at me. I copy their movements, raising my arms above my head the way they do and slowly rotating my hips in a dip and rise figure eight. A couple of guys come over to our spot on the floor. The really good-looking one gravitates to the bottle blonde. He has his hands on her waist within seconds. The other one, shorter but with striking eyes and a cutting-edge haircut, dances with me. He moves slower than the tempo of the music. When the song stops, he pulls me flush against him. He puts his lips against my neck. My skin feels electric. I'm lightheaded from the thrill of physical contact. It feels like acupuncture needles and a solid punch to the gut. Panic hits me all at once as my gown turns to rags and my coach to a pumpkin. I push firmly against the chest of my short-lived love interest and rush for the door. I watch my hands change, the palms spread out as the fingers get shorter and thicker. My metabolism has sped up. I can run faster, so I do. Back in my greenhouse, the dress is too loose and the shoes are too tight. I'm exhausted and my muscles ache. I feel like a burlap sack of cornmeal with rats inside, eating away at the goods. I get into bed, idly noting the faded stripe pattern on my pajamas. Was I always this unfashionable? It doesn't matter, though. I'm a scientist. My work is much more important than all the silly things people like to spend their credits on in this colony. Sleep weighs me down suddenly, and I dream of sugar plum neon, microscopes, and three-way sex with a go-go girl and a satyr. Since that evening, I've been transforming every other night for the past 6 months. Each time it feels a little stranger turning back. I'm beginning to experience paranoid aftershocks. On an off day when I'm not using the gel pad, sometimes I'll look in the mirror and see her. My mother always liked to warn me about the side effects of being too clever. She said it would only make life harder for me and that she could see why I had trouble making friends. Sometimes I pore over photographs I took with my Instaclick on my nights out. I'm always smiling and surrounded by other gorgeous people. I try and show them to Ben, but he doesn't care. He just wants to get back to his work. It's almost better when he's sulking and ignoring me, though, because when he does deign to speak to me, he's all snark and bile. Little Berlin Bethany, crying by day and dancing the night away, he'll say. It takes two to tango, I tell him.
In case you missed it, that was another story from the world of Subterran. There's a special going on right now if you want to take a little weekend trip there. It's two for the price of one, but the catch is only one person gets to use it. You go there one gender and come back another. If any gentlemen take up this offer and come back a little curvier, let's have lunch or something. I love, love, love doing fashion makeovers and totally love any chance to check out the new stuff in that French Quarter and planning a new wardrobe for people. It just took someone there, actually. It was a lot of fun. I just hope she enjoyed it as much as I did. On another note, there's been a bit of alarming news coming down here from the upper adversity. People not being able to use bathrooms, people being singled out for different hues of their skin, people advocating hatred, and then also, thankfully, others advocating for peace. But I tell you this, citizens, not because I want to alarm you, but because I want to prepare us all for what I imagine to be a fabulous influx of new arrivals. I am so looking forward to more new faces and celebrations and new shipyard sales. Okay, if you're from up there and you're hearing this message, please know that you are so very welcome here no matter what you are or who you like to cuddle with. Also, I like trinkets and warm caramel tea, so if you have room in your pockets, just look for the tall glass booth in the station and I'll be there when you arrive. And okay, the caramel tea doesn't have to be warm when you get here. You can just bring me the bags, but okay, you get the idea. Anyway, toodles for now, everyone. Until next time. Well, one more thing. Everyone matters, but more than that, we are all matter. So, just as a wise young little gentleman once told me, don't fret. It's just a dream.
This episode's story, Berlin Ben's Big Night Out, was written by Corin Rayburn. Corin's website is www.infrastratos.com. The voice of Am Onimus is Erin B. Lillis. Other featured voices in this episode include Kristen Roybal, Jose Perez, and me, Jupiter Q. Hurst. And our intro was read by Evian Zander and Dan Van Horn as the trans agent.